what it is. It's basketball. It's not a f***ing soft sport.
I love it, Gabe. I love it.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another NBL Pocket Podcast. NBL 20 season preview. This team is the Illawarra Hawks. They play in but a matter of hours at home. Let's jump straight into this. Let's look at the fan-based mindset. You can hear it in the background. This is a song. This is Red Gum with a beautiful song called I Was Only 19.
The 6th Battalion was the next to tour, and it was me who drew the card. We did Canungra and Shoalwater before we left. Townsville lined the footpaths as we marched down to the quay. This clipping from the paper shows us young and strong and clean. And there's me in me slouch hat with me SLR and greens. God help me. I was only 19.
And of course this song is in reference to their starting point guard and star player, quote unquote, LaMelo Ball. Who should be their starter and the one they look to control this team. Let's not forget, he's only actually 18, but I think he turns 19 by the end of the year, and I'm not even so sure of that. And that's who this team is pushing their chips in with. Let's have a look at who they acquired. Obviously, LaMelo Ball, Josh Boone from the Melbourne United, Aaron Brooks from the United States, Sunday Deck from Perth Wildcats, and Sam Froehlich, who's out of college and new to the league. Let's look at who they lost. Most importantly, the first name that jumps out to me there is Rob Beveridge, their former coach. Brian Conklin, Cedric Jackson, Jordan Jett, and Kevin White, who's gone on to Adelaide. Yeah, the losses are probably as important in that order. Maybe Jackson at the end of it, if you sort of look past what he could have brought and what he actually did bring. Not his best year. Let's have a look at consistency watch. Why do we look at consistency? Stability births consistency. Consistency creates culture. Culture breeds winning in the NBL. Just ask the Perth Wildcats. That's why we study this. They're actually not too bad. They kind of sit middle of the road, maybe lower middle. 5 of 12 roster changes. That's 42%, tied with New Zealand for third stroke fourth least personnel movement in the league. So as I said, lower middle. What's important to note is, though, two of their three starters are departing. So as much as they've got just that less player movement than a lot of teams, it's the concentration. Two of three starters is a lot. And you could really say three of three, because Jett spent a bit of time starting. Hard to say, really. White spent time starting. So I've gone with two of three because that's a fair thing. But the biggest loss, huge loss, is Rob Beveridge is departing. 26 years of coaching experience, 300 plus NBL games in favor of the rookie coach, Matt Flynn, who's been around the club for a long time, which is a positive, but has never head coached a minute in the NBL. Let's have a look at their rotation. Josh Boone, AJ Ogilvie, Blanchfield, Brooks, and Ball. I'm assuming that's the starting group. They seem to have a tendency to want to bring Aaron Brooks off the bench. Could very well happen. Backing them up, the veteran David Anderson and Sam Froehlich. They'll probably split minutes at the five, but I've put them in this way. Tim Conrad, Daniel Greeter, Emmett Nahr. That looks to be the way it's going to go. Glover and Decker in the conversation in the guard spots, but I think those are the two that'll win out. Maybe they push Greeter up to that small forward spot, making room for another guard, but that could be the way it goes, where Greeter jumps to small forward, Conrad jumps to power forward, Froehlich jumps to center, and then maybe Sunday comes in at shooting guard a bit more. Hard to say. We'll find out. Last season, let's look at their record. They went 12-16. That was good for seventh in the league. Ah, now here we go. Let's jump onto the prize pig of these NBL, whatever they're called, previews. Over-under predictions from topsport.com.au. You can't bet these anymore. They closed just before the start of the year. TopSport have this team over under at 15.5 games. So they predict them to make the over. They've got to win 16, under 14. 15.5 is that number. I'm taking the under. And I like to slim this down to one simple question. Is this team four games better than last season? Four games is a lot in the NBL. And 14 is the number that you had to win to make the finals. So last season anyway. So it looks like this team is well, in the prediction of top spot, are well in the hunt for the fourth spot. I don't see that at all. That's why I'm taking the under, and quite strongly. I'd be very surprised if the team won as many games as they won last season, and I wouldn't at all be surprised if this team won in the single digits number of wins. Why do I say that? Well, and this is a really good thought, and it comes from Jordan McCallum, who was on the NBL Pocket Podcast on the 17th of July, and I'm paraphrasing, but he said something like, Illawarra has players at the beginning of their career and at the end of their careers. Who's in their prime? It was a really great point and a really good question. The answer I didn't have at the time, but the answer is Todd Blanchfield. Todd Blanchfield's in the middle of his prime. He should be the best player on this team. Do people see it that way? Is that the actuality? That's why I'm taking the under. My next thing about it is they are either rolling with an 18-year-old rookie point guard in LaMelo Ball, a 25-year-old second-year player in Emmett Nahr, or a score-first 34-year-old combo guard in Aaron Brooks to control and set the table for this team. Take your pick. Or I could phrase it as pick your poison. I think they're all really good players. I think LaMelo Ball was great in the blitz one game and then was down the next game and missed time with injury or resting. Emmett Nahr's really good and was great last year, but is he ready to take this team to 16 wins? I wouldn't have thought so. And then Aaron Brooks, 34-year-old guard. He can certainly score, but can he get the other four guys going? I don't know. Not as well as the other seven starting import point guards in the league is what my assessment. Here's the other reason I'm taking the under. No Rob Beveridge. I really feel like he's the coach outside of Gleason who you can quantify his presence on the sideline with actual wins. If you watched the games last year, there were times when they were down and he just kept them around, kept them in it, and he was such a good coach. He was great pretty much everywhere he's been, except maybe the Sydney Spirit, but that's a different story. Even then, he was all right. Perth Wildcats, he was incredible. This guy he's a really good coach, and I don't put a lot of stock in coaches at all. But when you're trying to win that many games, you want to hope you have got skill and prestige at every position. Now, Matt Flynn may be that, but he's got no resume. Rob Beveridge was that guy, and 12-16 is a mediocre record last year. They had all kinds of locker room problems, and to win 12 and be two games outside the finals, I mean, they finished seventh, but look beyond that. They needed to win two more games to be tied and in the conversation, and had a couple of really bad breaks early on in their season. Something to think about. And if they'd been tied, they had that huge overtime game, you know, multiple overtime game where they probably would have made the finals. So Rob Beveridge, how big a loss is he going to be? I think you can quantify it, and that's why I'm going the under. Let's look at their title odds. They're $8 to win the title, fifth favourite. This is by Top Sport. They're behind Melbourne, Perth, Sydney, and Brisbane in that order. Highest ranked MVP candidate. This is according to Sportsbet. Actually, I think these are both according to Sportsbet. Number five, LaMelo Ball at $12, tied with Jerome Randall and Lamar Patterson of Brisbane. Five. Import rank. Illawarra only have two of three imports. That's the first and most important thing to note. I've got Brooks at number 19 and Boone at number 21. At 18, I have Ramon Moore, and at 20, I have Jayshon Tate. Is that a fair or unfair assessment of these two? Don't get me wrong, 21 is for Josh Boone. That's not a bad number. Neither is 19. That's just where I honestly place them. I couldn't justify it any higher. I could see them sliding ahead of, you know, Ramon Moore or up a few spots, but I don't think they're in the conversation of the top 10 or top 15 best imports in the NBL. Call me what you want. Final import rank at 9th, because also they've got Brooks at 19, Boone at 21, and then they don't have a third import, so you have to assess them the lowest ranking for that. So that definitely brings them down to 9. And I had to assess 25 rank points for the lowest ranked import. Here's why I gave them that ranking. Boone is the sixth oldest player in the NBL. Brooks is the ninth oldest player in the NBL, I believe. Lucas Walker is eighth. He was eighth on the list of NBL by the numbers article. And Brooks is 1 month older. And Lucas Walker is 1 month older than Brooks. So I didn't know who really else could fit into that spot. Maybe he's not the ninth oldest, but he's certainly close. Boone, I'm not as concerned about when he takes the floor. It's more of an injury and availability worry with him. I mean, you look at NBL versus China, his age, he was pretty healthy last year. But obviously he plays a position that's a little bit more forgiving on guys who have got a bit older and lost a step. I do think it was an odd move to sign Boone when they were at least planning on re-signing AJ Ogilvie. I just felt you kind of had to go one way or the other for them. If you only have two imports, you had to plug in the absolute glaring holes in your roster, and they are at the guard spot and on the wing and getting some creation off the wing. But they've gone with it. Maybe they saw something more that they liked. For example, I would have thought you'd be better off going with Brian Conklin than Boone. I'm probably on my own there, but a team of Ogilvie, Boone, whoever they start at small forward, and then Brooks and Ball, to me is a better lineup. But I do love Josh Boone, don't get me wrong, but I think he's more of a guy you throw onto a Melbourne United and get a couple of tweaks on your way up into the finals, not a guy you throw in there and expect to take you to 16 games when you won 12 last year, if that makes sense. Love Josh Boone's game. Let's shift focus from Josh Boone to Aaron Brooks. Brooks is 34 years and 9 months old. A lot of people, to give you a perspective of that age, Damian Martin is 35 and 1 month old. So there's about 3 months, a 4 months difference in between them. Martin is a lot stronger, 91 kilos, as opposed to Brooks' 73. And also, Damian Martin has been playing professional basketball consistently. Brooks is coming back from a near two-year break. And the other thing with Martin is Brooks has 685 NBA games on his body. Damian Martin has 315 NBL games working against him. And we know where people are rating and ranking Damian Martin in this game. And thinking about how effective he can be at this stage of his career and whether he should come off the bench and see major minutes. Brooks had that big scoring game of 28 points, hitting 7 threes in the preseason against the Kings. That game, and he hit some amazing shots, all from the perimeter. The Kings had jumped out to a 12-point lead early in this game, and the game did just look to kind of flow on from there. There wasn't a huge intensity to that game. It didn't feel like a regular season game, and that's pretty fatuous to say it's preseason. Also, I think like most people, I was really unimpressed and bemused by some of his behavior at the Blitz, where he got that unsportsmanlike foul. There's no problem, and it was explained that the unsportsmanlike foul came. He didn't know what the rule was. Even if he didn't, the carry-on was excessive and gratuitous. I didn't get it. I didn't understand it. He's talking to the crowd. He's throwing his arms around like he just doesn't care. He's slumped in his shoulders. You just wouldn't see that sort of behavior from, say, a John Robeson, who's a new import in the league. Very odd, and it left a sour taste in my mouth. It just gave me the thought that he's not as supremely focused as a Cotton, Casper Ware, Melo Trimble, John Robeson, Scott Machado, Jerome Randall, or Nathan Sobey. Look at those names I've named. They are going to be Brooks' direct opponent. I think he's a great player. He's had a great career, but at this time in 2019, up against those guys, it's going to be really tough, especially when the bar is set at 16 wins. Also, the situation surrounding his arrival to the NBA tingles my senses. All these agency details are courtesy of RealGM.com. Aaron Brooks is represented by Leon Rose, a very big and successful American sports agent who works with CAA, Creative Artists Agency. LaMelo Ball is represented by Stephen Heumann and Aaron Mintz. Very nice gents, I'm sure. Never met them. They also work for Creative Artists Agency, CAA. Brooks and Ball have the same agency. Brooks and Ball were announced as signing with the Illawarra Hawks on the same day. So then the question I have for all of you is, did Darren Brooks call his agent after a near 2-year absence and say, I really want to play in Australia and make it happen? Or did the agent either float the idea to Brooks or made Brooks an import for the Illawarra Hawks as somewhat of a condition of the sale of LaMelo Ball? That's my thought. You know, someone like John Roberson is saying to his agent, I want to play basketball somewhere, anywhere. I'm coming off the Euro Cup. Plug me in. I'm ready. I want to go. What's that new franchise, Australia? Yeah, I'll go. I just want to play. Aaron Brooks has had this 2 years off. It's a very unique situation to come into the NBL. Maybe it works. Maybe he's well rested. Maybe he's out of touch. If you're going to win 16 games in the NBL, you can't be out of touch. You can't be rusty. You got to come out absolutely firing. You're looking to make the finals. If you're not in the final spot by round 8, you're not going to make it. You know, it just creates more questions for me. And what we're searching for a winning team is a team with few questions, because the army or the team with fewer questions, whose soldiers have fewer questions, wins the battle. Plus, there was a tweet that kind of threw me off with Brooks as well. It was about LaMelo Ball's game. Let's see if I can bring this up. Sorry, everyone. 2 moments. Okay, here it is. This was a tweet by a guy by the name of Chris Ledden. So CHRISLLDN on Twitter. And it was a response to Tommy Hirsch, who had said something like, you can see why LaMelo Ball's come to this team, playing with guys like David Anderson and all this stuff. This was the reply. I can't see what they can teach him being LaMelo Ball, apart from defense and working in systems, because these guys can't even score easy looks he keeps giving them. Aaron Brooks liked that comment. It's not liked anymore by him, but I'm not into sort of taking screenshots as they happen. I'm not a snake or a snitch. I guess I am now. But he liked it, and if I'm wrong about that, I will. If he can look me in the face and say, oh, "I never liked that tweet," then I will vehemently apologize. But I'm really quite certain that he did. Stuff like that. It's weird, odd behavior. Where, as I said, it's not cancerous to a team. It's not the worst behavior in the world. It doesn't mean he's not going to be good. But when you're trying to win 16 games in the NBL, when you're trying to make the playoffs with a roster that is, you know, questionable in spots and with age and with youth and vice versa, you can't have any questions. And that raises questions for me. Let's look at their local rank. LaMelo Ball, I've got ranked as the 8th best local. Todd Blanchfield is number 15th. I feel kind of off about that. I'm kind of buying into the LaMelo Ball hype. We shall see. AJ Ogilvy, I've got as the 25th best local. So they have the 6th best locals in the NBL behind New Zealand, but ahead of Southeast Melbourne. I don't know how I came to that number, but anywho, let's look at their total talent rank. Import rank plus local rank equals total rank. 9 plus 6 equals 15. Teams are aiming for a low score. I have them as the least talented team in the NBL. Not saying they don't have talent. I'm saying compared to the crop of NBL 20, they're 9th. That's me. Schedule watch. Let's look at their first games up until round 8. Round 8 was when the finals picture didn't change last season. Once it got to round 8, NBL 19, it was Perth, Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane. It was locked in. It never changed at that point. So let's have a look here. So their first games up to round 8, they play Brisbane at home, at Perth, Cairns at home, at Southeast Melbourne, Adelaide at home, New Zealand on the road, Perth at home, Brisbane on the road, Cairns on the road, Sydney on the road, and Cairns at home. I have them losing the games against Perth, Brisbane, Southeast Melbourne, Adelaide at home, Perth at home, Brisbane at home, and then Sydney on the road. So I have 1, 2, 3, 4 games that they're potentially going to win. I have this team at 4-7, which would carry them on to 10 wins for the season. You know, and that's them taking care of Cairns at home and on the road. and New Zealand on the road. You know, the Wind Stadium in Wollongong was hardly a fortress last year. They dropped a number of games there. And then, you know, you add in the Rob Beveridge factor. Maybe they drop a game or two that he could have influenced. And that prediction of 10 and around about double digits, and I think just under, is their wheelhouse. Let's jump on to the biggest questions for this team. My first biggest question is, can Brooks guard the NBL's best at the most stacked and difficult position? You heard those names I spoke to you before. Can he do it? Can he guard? We all know he can shoot and score, but can he stop those guys down the other end? Casper Ware, Bryce Cotton, John Roberson. If he's not guarding them, you know, let's say they play Perth. Let's say he doesn't guard Cotton. Someone else goes to him. Who else is he going to guard? Is he going to guard Tarico White? Is he going to guard Jesse Wagstaff? Maybe. I still, you know, Jesse Wagstaff will, you know, take him inside, take him off the dribble. So if he's not guarding those guys, who is he guarding? And can they win doing that? That's my question. I feel like I'm really ragging on Aaron Brooks. I think he's a good player. I just don't like him for 16 wins. Second biggest question for this team. Are Daniel Greeter, Emmett Nahr ready and willing and or capable of contributing to winning basketball? Last year, they seemed to do that. My favorite of the two is Daniel Greeter. I think he's so aggressive at the hoop, and he could see more and more time, splitting time with Blanchfield if they want to put him either spot a bit higher or play with Greeter. You know, they've got some fun lineups like a Brooks, Greeter, Blanchfield, Boone, Froling, Conrad lineup. Yeah, it depends what they want to do. So the lineup's got some a degree of pep to it. Again, does it win 16 games? Eh. My third biggest question for this team is, can an 18-year-old with 1 hour and 48 minutes of international experience truly be a top five NBL MVP caliber player? The movie Clueless has a runtime of 1 hour 40 minutes. So if you watch Clueless, that's how much time LaMelo Ball has spent on professional courts. Will he even play the whole season? You may have heard Matt Logue's report on the basketball show AU. A lot of people have poo-pooed that since. I'm not one of them. I think there's every chance that if he's performed well, if his draft stock is high, there's enough of a precedent from the FIBA World Cup where guys go, you know what? I'm going to protect my NBA interests, which I don't begrudge the kid at all. It's what he's come here for. He hasn't come here to compete. He has come here to compete for the NBL championship, but if that was put alongside the NBA draft and potentially first pick, I and everyone else would take the shot at the number one pick. So, no, I do believe it from Matt Logue very, very much. Yeah, so is his motivation win as many games as possible in the NBL or make the finals, or NBA or die trying? We shall see. But it's one of the many reasons I don't have Illawarra winning over 15.5 games in NBL 20. Sorry, Hawks fans. Very, very sorry. No Hollywood calling. This episode was done in a bum's rush before the game at, what, 2:30 or 3:00 or something like that. Like or dislike this preview? By all means, let me know at Twitter at NBL Pocket Pod or in an email, nblpocketpodcast@gmail.com. I wish this team luck. I think they're a fun little team. They're out of Wollongong. They're scrappy. They're tough. And they're going to have to be exceptionally tough to make the finals this year. Thanks very much, everyone, and enjoy.